Welcome to the first Sunday of Advent, where we turn attention and think about the birth of Jesus and all that means for us as followers. I want to invite you now to take your Bible or your device and join me in John's Gospel, chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, I will also read verse 2. And I want you to just breathe and take in the gift of God's word given to us in love. Here's John chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning, the word already existed." And as we move through our time together, we'll define who John is referring to here as the word. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. This is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In his book, Reading the Gospels Wisely, Jonathan Pennington says, "Scripture is the record of or witness to God speaking and revealing himself." That's scripture. It's the record of God telling us who he is. Meaning that if we want to know a little bit more about God, if we really want to understand the heart of our Savior, then we must go to scripture and read. It's interesting because Advent, or the month of December, this time where we move towards celebrating the arrival and the birth of Jesus, Christians, and I would say even non-Christians, often spend a lot more time reading the Bible as they hear the story of Jesus coming into the world. During the Advent season, we give more attention to the Gospels, both believers and non-believers. We give more attention to the Gospels. We do that because they tell us about Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the star and the trip to Bethlehem and the shepherds and the wise men and the heavenly host saying, "Glory to God on the highest and peace on earth to everyone." It's the nativity scene, right? The nativity you see on the screens now is a fresco that was painted by Giotto around 1305 on a wall in the Scrovegni Chapel in Padua. I have no idea if I said any of those names right, but you get the idea. It's a fresco, it's a painting, and this is known as one of Giotto's finest and most important works. This particular nativity was known as being a little bit ahead of its time and different for its time, as Giotto's characters reflected a little more warmth than other nativity paintings during that particular time. This is a nativity. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, angels, shepherds, and wise men. We see a lot of nativities throughout the month of December, and rightly so. This is when we think about Jesus coming and the whole story. A few years ago, my sister-in-law, who has young children, sent me a nativity in their home. This is Fisher-Price style. Not exactly a fresco, but it is a nativity scene nonetheless. It has an angel and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. I don't know where the shepherds are. They're probably missing and being played with around the house somewhere. But we do have two wise men. Apparently, one of the wise men was bumped from the scene by her son, one of my nephews, and replaced with teething tablets. Because, after all, Jesus was a baby, right? And may need those at some point. What's interesting about what we just read in John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, and throughout the rest of the month we'll unpack the rest of the verses, is John does not give us a nativity scene. He does not describe for us, here's Jesus and Mary and Joseph, shepherds, wise men, stars, traveling, nativities, all of this. He skips that. And what he does is he introduces to us Jesus. And he refers to him as the Word. Jesus, the Word. And then John even goes on to say that the Word, or Jesus, became flesh. He became a human like us, and he moved into our space. He moved to earth, and he moved into our darkness. That's what John tells us later on in chapter 1, verse 14. So through him, through Jesus, through the Word, we have a glimpse of what God is like. Scholar Craig Keener noted, by calling Jesus the Word, John, the author, calls him the embodiment of all God's revelation in the Scriptures. Like, John starts his gospel and he comes out of the gate with fire, basically saying, I'm going to skip the nativity scene. You can look to Matthew and you can look to Luke for that. I'm going to skip that and just come out and say, Jesus is everything. He is the embodiment. He captures everything that God has been saying and revealing through the years, and he is here. Jesus is everything. And then John actually goes on to say that God sent his Son, the Word, Jesus, into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world. Will you say the next two words with me? Through him. Through him. We begin a brand new theme today called Through Him that will carry us through Christmas Eve. And here's the plan. We're going to walk verse by verse through John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and just pull beautiful truth from John's introduction to us of Jesus the Word. So that's our plan. From now until Christmas Eve, which is a Sunday, we're going to walk verse by verse and just pull great truth from what John describes here as Jesus the Word. For today, here's our walking path, just so you know where we're going. I want to give a refresher on the Gospels, since we're going to spend time in one of the Gospels. It's important to have a picture of what they are all like. So I want to give a refresher on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then there is a book written by Jonathan Pennington. I've already cited from it. He shares four thinking points about the Gospels that are powerful and will just give us a great picture of why we spend a little more time in the Gospels during the month of Advent. So we'll share the four Pennington points. And then I have a big idea that will frame our day, and then after that, we'll go back to John chapter 1 and look at verses 1 and 2. We've already read them. I want to go back and just tease apart a few of the phrases that we find there as it gives us great hope as we think about Jesus, the Word, coming to earth and becoming human like us. And then after that, I'll share some helpful and practical takeaways. So let's begin with the Gospels, a refresher. There are four Gospels that are biological, theological, and historical writings about the person of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are grouped together into what theologians call the Synoptic Gospels. John is left out of that description, and I'll share why in just a moment. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels. That word simply means similar. So there are a lot of the same events in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if you've ever read through the Gospels, you're like, this sounds kind of familiar. I'm in Mark, I think I remember that, in Matthew. And then when you get to Luke, you'll read about it again. They don't share all of the same stories. They're not identical, but they are very similar. John is different there is little overlap with his gospel. Much of his content is unique to him, and you won't read about it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. One scholar actually packaged it this way. He said, 42% of the content in Matthew is unique to his book, and you won't find it in Mark, Luke, or John. In Mark, only 7% is unique. In Luke, 59% of his content is unique. But look at John there. Wow, go John. 92% of his gospel is unique, and you won't find it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. The point is, John is just different. He's different. For example, there's no nativity scene in John. You find that in Matthew, and you find that in Luke. John skips that and just describes for us how Jesus is the Word, and he always was, and the Word took on flesh and moved into the world to pay the price for our sins. The Word came to us. That's how John starts. What we do know is that the four Gospels are all needed and they are all valuable. They complement each other and they do point the reader unmistakably to the person of Jesus. And we can't forget about that no matter what Gospel we're reading. If we're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, everything in some way is pointed to the person of Jesus. Now, I want to go a bit deeper than just thinking about the unique content of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and share four points about the Gospels that I believe are going to energize and animate you in such a way that after you hear the four points, you are going to stand up and shout, "Go Gospels! Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are just amazing individuals, and we love this." Now, I don't think that's actually going to happen. You will probably remain seated, and that is just fine. But these four points are really powerful, and I think they just give us a beautiful picture about Jesus, and they point us to our great God. So, here are the four Pennington points about the Gospels. Point number one. The Gospels do not present Jesus as one great figure alongside others. All of human history is seen to be consummated in him. So think about this. The claims made about Jesus in the Gospels are much greater than the claims made about other great people in the Gospels. The claims made about Jesus are just a little bit different. He stands alone. He stands as someone who is greater. And that's what makes the biographical work of these historical documents different from other books in antiquity that would often list great people and put them alongside each other so you could compare and contrast. The Gospels don't do that. They lift up Jesus and Jesus alone. Point number two, the life and death of Jesus are presented as something that changed the course of history. Number three, Jesus is by nature the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And then number four, unlike other biographies, Jesus is presented as someone who is still with his followers. He is still with them. Now, I share this as a reminder that as we talk about Jesus' arrival and his birth, the world changed in that moment. History changed. Everything changed when Jesus was born. And think about this. My life and your life can change. Because Matthew said, he, Jesus, is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Not just up there or out there somewhere. Jesus, God is with us, which all sounds great. Jesus is with us. He hasn't abandoned his followers. That sounds great. Here's the problem, though. Often we come to this period of the year, December. a little worn out, right? We're tired, it's cold, it's dark, and it's raining, and there's end of year stuff at work that we all have to accomplish and get done, and events, and do this, and watch this, and come here, and it seems like everyone and everything is shouting at us, look at me, look at me. And in the middle of this, yes, there is Christmas, and we celebrate. But have we lost the wonder of what it actually means that Jesus entered into our space and into our world, and he became a human for us? With everything that happens, and the busyness of the season, and everything we are supposed to accomplish, have we lost the wonder of simply thinking about how Jesus came to earth for us? Let's get it back. Let's get it back. Let's raise the value on what it means to celebrate Christmas as the arrival of someone who has no equal and is still with his followers. Let's do that. Here's our big idea. Through him, through the birth of Jesus, through his advent, we see how God intervened in the world. Remember that the Gospels give us a picture of God, and they point unmistakably to the person of Jesus. So as we walk through John's Gospel, we're reminded that through him, through the Word taking on flesh, through his advent, we see how God intervened in the world. Let's walk through the text again. I've already read these two verses, but I want to walk through it slowly. And as we do this, just allow it to feed you. Okay, back to John chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." And I want to pause there and say this is a significant statement because John is declaring that Jesus has always been. He wasn't created when he was born. No, in the beginning, which this is a throwback to the beginning of time, the Word, which is again referring to Jesus, he already existed. John goes on to say, the Word, or Jesus, was with God. You see that word with in verse 1? Shake your head a little bit so I know you're still with me. That word with suggests in company. So we could look at that phrase and say the Word, or Jesus, was in company with God. He was in communion with God himself. They had a very special relationship. So in the beginning, Jesus already existed. He wasn't fashioned. He wasn't made in some way. No, he already existed. And Jesus was in communion. He was in relationship with God, which speaks of the power of their relationship that we can't even put words to. We can't even describe it. Always existed in communion, in relationship with God in a way that we can't even understand. And then John goes on to say, and the Word, Jesus, he was God. He was not a God, but he was the God stepping into humanity. And then in verse 2, John simply reminds us again, he, Jesus, existed in the beginning with God. In case we forgot or our minds have wandered a little bit, he brings us back to this salient point. He existed, the Word, Jesus, in the beginning with God. So in the beginning, Jesus already existed. The Word, Jesus, was in communion. He had a special relationship with God, and he was God, not a God, not a lower-ranking minion of the God. He was God, and he existed in the beginning with God. To summarize those two verses, there are three thoughts that fall right out of John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Here are the 3 points. Jesus was not created. He existed before his birth. Yes, he came to earth to fulfill a mission, but he already lived. He already existed. Jesus had equality with God, yet he is distinct. And then Jesus existed in the beginning with God. He has always been. I love what scholar Gary Burge says about this. He describes it this way. John is making an absolute affirmation about the eternal existence of the Word. It did not come into being, nor was there ever a time when the Word was not. Whatever we can say about God, we can and must say about the Word. Now, before we get to our takeaways for a better and more spiritually focused December, and I hope the takeaways provide that for you, I just want to pause and say all of that, thinking about the Gospels and their uniqueness, and then just doing a slow walk through just the first 2 verses of John chapter 1, that this energizes you in a way to know that our great God cares enough about us that he recognized there was a problem and he desired to solve that because of his love. And so he sent his Son, God himself, who always existed, and he took on flesh and he paid the price for our sins by dying on the cross. And he did that driven by deep love for what he had created, you. Us. May this be an animating thought as you move through December. That God, creator, inventor, the one over all and above all, cared enough about us that he sent his Son Jesus into the world, and through him, we have all kinds of hope. This should really energize us as we move through the month of December. Now, let's get into some takeaways, some helpful things that hopefully create for all of you a better, more spiritually focused December. 3 takeaways. Number 1, Jesus is not some cuddly good luck charm to wave at life's calamities, okay? He's so much more than that. We can certainly wave Jesus at stuff and say, please help, but he's more than just some kind of good luck charm. He is God. And we should step back and remember that as we walk through life. That he's more than just a good friend or a buddy on a tough day. He is God, and he has always been. And he's the one who took on flesh so that I could have a relationship with God the Father. This should cause the believer to give more than a casual, you know, go Jesus, you're with me, yay. It should cause us just to step back and fall on our knees in worship and response of the one who came for us, because he is God, and Jesus calls us to follow him. Think about that now. Jesus calls us to follow him, and he doesn't want us to follow in a casual way. Like when it's convenient or when you're feeling good about life, then follow me. No, Jesus wants us to follow him all of the time. And he wants us to orient every aspect of our life around who he is and obeying him. And we can do that, and we should do that, because Jesus is worthy. He's worthy because he's God. So for the believer, this should cause us to just bow in reverence and once again, take all aspects of our lives and say, is Jesus at the center of this? Or have I pushed him to the side or the back somewhere? Stay there, Jesus. So as we think about, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. May this help us to view Jesus as someone to worship and arrange our lives around who he is and what he has done for us. That's for the believer. Maybe you would say you're not a believer. It's not so sure about Jesus and God and the story. It's all a little out there and it's kind of bizarre. I'm glad that you're here. And I want you to know that Valley Point is a safe place for you to think and to question and to wrestle with all of this content. If that's how you feel, welcome. My encouragement to you would be once again, and in a fresh way, consider the claims of Jesus, because he stands alone. He stands alone in his humility. God, he left heaven and the glory and splendor of everything there and came to us. Deities aren't supposed to do that. But Jesus did, driven by his humility and love. So he stands alone in his humility, and he stands alone in his work, what he accomplished for us. So if you're not so sure about the person of Jesus, my encouragement in love would be, once again, just consider the claims of Christ, because he stands alone. So Jesus is not some cuddly good luck charm to wave at the troubles of life. He is God, and we should worship him as such. And we plan to do that throughout the month of December, so I hope you'll be here. Takeaway number two, read scripture with more passion this month. Read to truly understand and see the word and what he reveals to us about a loving God who cares for us. And we have a Monday through Friday reading plan that you can see in the talk notes. It's going to take you into some of the nativity scenes that we find in scripture. Read with more passion to truly understand. And what is God saying to me in this text about the person of Jesus? Read with more passion. And then number three, determine now to have the kind of December that honors God and brings hope to others. It's December 3rd. There's a lot of month in front of us. But I think we all know how we'll blink and it will soon be 2024. So this time moves rapidly. At the beginning of the month, on the first Sunday of Advent, as the hope candle burns, would you just determine now to have the kind of December that's not driven by chaos and schedules and consumerism and the demands and the interests of other people, as important as that is? Would you determine to have the kind of December that ultimately honors God above everything and everyone? And I believe what will happen in the process, as you do that, you will be bringing hope to others as well, which was modeled by Jesus when he came. So it's December 3rd. Let's just determine on this day, let's have the kind of month, the kind of Advent season that honors God ultimately above all and gives hope to others. Back to the big idea. Through him, the Advent, the birth of Jesus, we see how God intervened in the world for us. For us. So as we move forward into this month, may we sense this Christmas that living for Emmanuel, God with us, is more than an emotional feeling or a positive attitude that somehow pushes us through life's challenges. No, living for Jesus, here's what it is. It is attached to his coming to earth, and through him, God came to us. May we have that kind of Advent season. Father, we are so thankful for John chapter 1 and just these first two verses that give us a great glimpse of what you put into play for all of us redemption, a rescue unlike any other. And in the beginning was the Word, was Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we want to celebrate and honor and reverence Him as the One. And as we come to this first Sunday of Advent, Father, with hope burning, whatever we may be feeling in the room or for those watching online, however hopeless we may feel, whatever frustrations exist, whatever real pain and loss is there of any kind, may we be animated in a different kind of way by thinking of how Jesus came, God came for us. And may this just give us the kind of December that honors you in an appropriate way and also brings hope into our work, into our families, into what we create, and into what we give, and into what we share. God, help us all to look a little bit more like your beloved Son, Jesus, during this season. May that be true of us. I'd like for you just to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed for a moment. And you just talk to God. What is He whispering into your heart right now? What is He stirring inside of you that you should do or shouldn't? What is He asking of you? What hopes are there? What frustrations exist? Just give all of that to Him. Talk to Him about what's in your heart right now and ask Him to give you the kind of December that honors God and brings hope to others. God, all of these prayers being lifted to you, I pray that you would meet us and encourage us. And God, I pray that you'd help us to all have an amazing Advent season, no matter what's going on around us. Even if there are really hard days and hard things, may we keep our eyes on Jesus, the One who came. And may we respond to you with reverence and bring hope to others. We pray all of this now in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said,